Welcome to the Grace Community Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at gracedl.org. You can also find us on Facebook at GCC Turtle Lake.
I mentioned something about dealing with forgiveness this week. That's coming. On the way home from last Sunday, Lois and I were talking, and it dawned on me that we talked about complaining and murmuring, and anybody in here that has never complained or murmured, I take my hands down. And I thought to myself, you know, we need to have a message on what can we do about it. So this Sunday, we're going to talk about what we can do about it. And I don't know about the rest of you. I can only testify about myself and maybe a little bit about Lois. Now, wait a minute, because I live with her, okay? And she lives with me, so we can testify against each other, okay? Against each other, because both of us complain. And it's not, it's just not hard at all to complain, is it? I mean, you know what, guys, we can just, I mean, just, it just kind of comes naturally. Complain, complain, complain. I don't like last Sunday's message on complaining and murmuring. We learned about God hates it. I don't think we really have to say a whole lot more about it, do we? God hates it. And so when we start complaining, we are doing something that God hates. That doesn't show him a lot of respect, does it? We also found out that we pay dearly for complaining and murmuring. Okay? A lot of sickness and stuff is because of complaining and murmuring. We talked about the fact that people under the hand of God died because of it. I got to read this. This is not up. I only gave them one verse back there, so they should do all right this morning with that. Don't have to worry about it. But in 1 Corinthians, I think it is. Let me see if I can find it. In chapter 11, yeah, the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you have your Bibles. If you go down to verse 27 and reading, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, okay? And I think what it's saying unworthy is, you know, if you've been spending the day complaining, don't come and eat the Lord's Supper in an unworthy. You understand it's an unworthy manner, all right? And he goes on and he says, we'll be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats or drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord and drinks judgment upon himself, that is why, listen to this, many among you are weak. So one of the reasons why we are weak is because we have not taken the elements or you know, gone through the communion and taken the juice in an unworthy manner, and it says that a lot of you are weak. And then it goes on and say, and sick. So sickness is an end result of not doing it worthily. All right? if we start doing it unworthily. And I think that complaining and murmuring and arguing and fighting and so forth, I think that kind of produces unworthiness. What do you think? Would you all agree with that? And a number of you have even fallen asleep or died. And are you getting an understanding this morning? I don't want to rehash what we dealt with last week, and I'm not going to. But I want you all to understand that arguing and complaining and murmuring, and by the way, synonyms for murmuring and complaining is whining and growling. Growling. And you say, well, I've never growled. Oh, I don't know. There have been times when my wife has been upset at me, and I've maybe said something, and as she walks away, she's saying something to herself under her breath. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I said, what'd you say? What'd you say? That's called growling. Okay? And we all know what I'm talking about. See, that's just real stuff. And whining. Do we whine? Oh, a little bit. I want to read something to you this morning before I start. God called me into the ministry when I was 12 years old at a Methodist camp up in Whispering Pines, Wisconsin. I wasn't a Christian, but I knew that there was something in my heart. And gave my life to Jesus in 1963, filled with the Holy Spirit, traveled, been all kinds of places. And through the years, there have been a number of prophetic words that have been given over me. A couple of years ago, I was praying and asked the Lord some things. And this was a journal that, in other words, when I say journal, this was I wrote down what I sensed the Lord saying to me. I want you to hear it this morning. He said, son, I have made you a watchman in my kingdom. And as soon as I heard that or sensed that, I knew in my spirit that there was something that God was saying here that was really important to me. You will always lean to the side of critical thinking. A watchman is somebody that stands on the top of the wall and is constantly looking for the enemy and constantly looking for something that could hurt the city. All right? And you have to have a real critical eye. I have a real appreciation for policemen. I have been a policeman. Even as a minister, I was a policeman. I was a special deputy for Pierce County, and I was a deputy in Elmwood, Wisconsin. I've been through police training. I have a great love and empathy for policemen. It hurts me to see policemen misused, because I know what they go through. If you've never been a policeman and you've never been called to a family dispute, and that is the most dangerous thing to go to. Most policemen are killed in family dispute situations. And it's just because it can escalate so much. Let me take a side trip here, though. I think Lois gave me, I probably shared this with you before, but she gave me a clerical shirt. As a gift. You know, I'm in the Methodist church, and a lot of the Methodist pastors were wearing clerical shirts, and this was a nice blue shirt, you know, with a clerical collar and so forth, and I probably wore it 4, 5, 6 times. First time I wore it, we went to the hospital in Menominee, and we came back, and shortly after I'd got home, just barely got in the door, my police pager went off, and there was a dispute, a family dispute that was going on at this house, and people were hearing it, and things were crashing and so forth. So I threw on my police jacket, and I took off, and Gene, the chief of police, who was getting there, just I pulled up right alongside of him, and we went to the door, and he knocked on the door, and the man came to the door, and he could see he was very angry. And when Gene walked in, but it was when I walked in, and it was hilarious, because they stopped dead in their tracks. I mean, like they were like this, and it was like, because they saw this police jacket and clerical collar, and they couldn't figure out what I was. And it totally, 100% diffused the situation, because they were Catholic. And they were, it just, the second time I, in a similar situation, there was a fight going on in a bar downtown in Elmwood, and two women were, they were duking it out. And they called the police and ambulance because one of them was cut in the process. They had broke a beer bottle and, it was all kinds of stuff. But anyway, when we walked in the door, and I followed the Gene in, and the ambulance attendants were right behind me. Everybody in the bar was like, same situation. And we took care of it, and they never moved. All of them were just... because of that shirt. And we got the lady out and got her on the ambulance, and they took off, and we were in the process of leaving. And I stopped right there, and I turned around because there was two or three of them that were from my church. This was Saturday night, tomorrow morning, Sunday. So I called them by name, and I said, you know what? You guys need to get home tomorrow morning service. And I called four or five others' names that I knew them, and they were good Catholics. And I said, you guys need to get home too. I basically emptied the bar. And as we're walking out, the chief of police says, I got to get me one of those shirts. So when I read it, when God is saying this to me, he talks about that become a critical thinker. When I walked the earth, Jesus said, I saw all of the hypocrisy and the wrong. But as I saw these things, I also saw the potential in each and every person I came in contact with. Today I see only that which has been washed by my blood. I see my Father's love and joy and his expectancy in each and every one of those who believed in me and sought my forgiveness. And by their faith they prompted the Holy Spirit to change their innermost being. You too have this capacity to see the possibility in every person, and also to have an expectancy in your heart that will help you see the wrong, but see past it to the potential in each person. Even though you see the wrong, see also the good and the possibility that is also presented in each and every situation. It is easy to give up. It is easy to dwell on the wrong and lose sight of that is really there. See things through my eyes, son. See them as I see them. When you are not sure, ask, and I will let you see as I see. The more you do it, the more you release yourself from the world of criticism and move into the world of hope. As a watchman, you see things with spiritual binoculars. You see it up close and clearer. You not only see the weakness, you see also the strength. Help them to see their weakness. A watchman does not fix the problem. They only reveal the problem. They see the problems and then reveal or warn the others of possible danger. That's who I am. And I know that. I know it in my heart. The struggle that I've had through the years because of this naturally built-in, God-given deal of seeing things, I've found myself becoming critical and found myself being a complaining person. And I've had to deal with it. So when I talked last Sunday about complaining and murmuring, I'm talking out of my own life. I'm not here to browbeat anybody. I'm not here to bring up something that's hard. If I bring up something like complaining and murmuring, like I did last Sunday, it is not just because I want to beat you down. It's because I want to help you get past it. You see, the thing is, God hates it. And if God hates it, we can't do it. Because if we do it, we are going to hurt ourselves and those around us. All right? Are you grabbing a hold of that, people? It's hard for me to preach those messages. Because I know in my heart that I'm speaking directly into some lives. But let me tell you, God doesn't leave us there. He's not a person where there is condemnation. He doesn't leave us there. And so this morning as I was, this week as I was thinking about all this stuff, God began to speak to me about this whole thing of complaining and murmuring, but getting away from it. Last week, things that God has directed us to do: give thanks in all things, bless others, especially those who persecute us, be joyful and patient, help them in need, always do good, love everyone, get off from yourself. And you know what, people? I know, just like you know, that kind of stuff is not easy. I don't know about you, but there are some people that I don't like. I have to love them, but I don't have to like them. At least I haven't found a scripture that says, Arvid, like all people. I got to love them, which means out of that love, I minister to them. Even though, there's not a whole lot. Okay, I've only found maybe in all the years a half a dozen people that I couldn't really work with. I had one lady when I came in one of the churches. She was an older lady. She was probably 80. She was the church treasurer. And almost everybody in church, you stay away from Mrs. Hall. Oh boy. She's a controller. So I walked up to her door for the first time with fear and trembling. I didn't know what I was going to get when I walked in the door. And I walked up to her and I said, good afternoon, Mrs. Hall. And I reached over and I gave her a great big hug and said, you know what, I so much appreciate you. I defused that bomb. She loved me. She was a neat lady. She had some things and so forth in her life and so on. She was a precious, precious lady. If you know somebody who's stiff and, maybe is, I just hear, man, melt them. Take out that ray gun of love and just zap the tar out of them. I really mean that. It's easy to criticize. It's easy to be critical of that person who's kind of cold and distant and so forth. See past it. Understand maybe where they're coming from. Number one remedy. Write this in your brain. The number one remedy for complaining and murmuring, for whining and growling, is simple, simple, simple. Be thankful. Probably one of the most number one things in the body of Christ that we miss. And I wrote down, be thankful. Thanks is expressing gratitude, an acknowledgement made to express a sense of favor or kindness received. Thanklessness is being unthankful, ungrateful, ingratitude, not expressing any kind of thanks. I stopped right there when I was done. I read the definition. I said, Lord, that's not easy. It's not easy.
of it, stay away from it. Lois, I'm trying. I really am. I have a tendency sometimes to pick on Lois. I won't do it. Now, I want you to grab a hold of this. The Greek word for being thankful is, the basic Greek word is chara. But I want you to understand what the word chara means. Chara means joy and to rejoice. Do you know what? If you're full of joy and rejoicing, it's hard to complain. It really is. Yeah, it's hard to say, I just don't like that person. It's hard. It means, listen, it's also the word for grace. This is Cara Community Church. This is Grace Community Church. And grace is to give freely, to bestow favor. It's hard to complain when you're giving and you're bestowing favor on somebody. Here, I wanna take care of this, you so-and-so. I just get tickled. All right, it's the word gift. You see, thanksgiving is a gift. It's grace. It's an expression of grace. It's an expression of joy and rejoicing. To give thanks, gratitude, gratefulness. You see, thankful means full of thanks. Thanklessness is empty of thanks. Joyfulness is full of joy. Joyless is empty of joy. Grateful is full of gratitude. Ungrateful is empty of gratitude. How many of you this morning thoroughly enjoy being around a person that has no joy? Do you really enjoy that? Anybody here that just loves being around people that are cranky and all that kind of stuff? You see, come on. You see, there's always the opposite. There's always the opposite. Be thankful. It shows and gives grace. Be thankful. It expresses God's goodness, His glory. Be thankful. It is a gift from God to give to others. Be thankful. It is an expression of His love through us to others. Be thankful. It is our focus on Jesus, not upon ourselves. Be thankful. It is an expression of our attitude towards God. Thanklessness is also an expression, but it's not good. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 16. This is the only verse that I wanted put up. So hang on. Oh, boy. Maybe we should go to the next one. No. Do everything. Well, what does everything mean? Oh, can't mean something like maybe sometimes? Do everything. What is everything? It's everything. Do everything without grumbling and complaining. Boy, that is tough. What in the world was God thinking of to put that thing in the Bible? I mean, doesn't He understand where we live? Doesn't He understand the neighbors that we've got? Doesn't He understand all the stuff that's going on in our country? God, you want me to be thankful for all this stuff that's going on? You want me to be thankful in everything that happens in my life? Yeah. Then He goes on, He says, what? So that, oh boy. See, it's be thankful in everything so that. What does so that mean? In order that. In other words, this takes place when we're thankful in everything. Number one, that you may become blameless and pure. Anybody in here that doesn't want to be blameless and pure? The wives are looking at the husbands are looking at the wives. Boy, I wish he was, or I wish she was. No. But in, how do you get this done? How do you become blameless and pure? Come on, what did he just say? Be thankful in everything, so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God. You mean, Lord, if I'm not thankful in everything, I'm not going to be a child of God? Well, I'm just reading the scripture, what it says, people. I think that our thanklessness begins to destroy and undermine our childness of God thing. And Jesus said this, you must become as a what? Little child. You can't become as a little child if you're not thankful. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 16. Children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. You want to be a shining light for God? Be thankful in everything. All right? Without complaining, we get to be blameless and pure children of God, without fault, shining like stars and expressing the word of life. Complaining, though, takes away, and we become full of blame, impure, not children of God, finding fault in everything, no light, and not showing God's word. There's a book that I was reading, and I got to get this name right. His name is Rick Sairamatira. Anyway, his name's Rick. He says this, and I like it. He says, murmuring and complaining invites and activates and releases and empowers and connects and houses the demons of Satan in our lives. So much oppression and sickness and bondage and anger and fear and hatred come from the root issue of murmuring and complaining. He went on to say, thanksgiving and a grateful heart activates, releases, empowers, connects, and houses the Holy Spirit and the angels of God in our lives. Either complaining or giving thanks. I have a question for you parents. I wrote down, do you like it when your children growl and whine about their life that you have given them or not given them? Y'all know what I mean? Have your children ever said things like, are we there yet? Our kids would say that 3 minutes after we got left the house. Are we there yet? I don't like beans. Come on, now, parents, look at me. Are you hearing this morning? Have they ever said those things? I don't like these shoes. Why do I have to look like this? When are we going to do this? Only if you've ever been a parent with kids growing up, you have gone through all kinds of whining and complaining, murmuring, growling, right? Where in the world did they learn that? That's what I like to know. It's like they just get born and that's where they are. No. I've heard things like, when is this light going to change? How come this light is so long? I wish that guy would watch where he's going. I hate this store. There's no lines. There's not enough lines open. I hear that in Walmart all the time. Hurry up, Lois. We're going to be late. You husbands ever hear that? Is it, you know? I've complained about that a lot. Right, Lois? No amen? Come on. How about this? Yuck. Put a plate of food in someone, yuck. We'll try it. Well, just try it. I don't want to try it. But you know, I hear it from adults too. Well, I never go to fast food restaurants. I want to be served. I've heard that. You see, our kids learn how to complain and murmur from us. One day, Lois and I, we were living in Elmwood, and I heard Lois out in the kitchen, "Stephen, come on, you can't do that." And we'd been talking, Lois and I had been talking about how the kids seemed like they were whining all the time. "Stephen, come on, you can't." I said, Lois, and she came in and I said, "What were you just doing?" She said, "Well, I was telling Stephen." I said, "No, you were whining." And we began to realize that we had been whining all along. "Oh, I hate this day. It's so hot out there." Ah. Of course, you all have never done that, never said that, you know, but we did. This country is going to the dogs. That broke my heart when I wrote that down today, this week sometime. Broke my heart. You know why it broke my heart? I've been in France. I've been in Argentina. I've been in Ecuador. I've been in Mexico. I've been in Canada. And I just want to say, people, that we live in the greatest nation in the world. We have got so much. You don't have to answer this question, but if you make $30,000 more or $30,000 or more a year, you are considered in the rich 1/4 of the people in the world. If you make $30,000 a year, you are considered to be in the top 10% of the richest people in the world. Shame on us. Shame on us for ever, ever complaining about this nation. When I went to Ecuador and I got down in the Amazon jungle and I climbed up a ladder to get into a house about maybe 20 by 20, and I looked and there was a hallway and the wall was about this high over here and there was a higher wall over here, and I looked and there were three beds, just beds with thatch, little thatch mattresses, and next to the bed there was a little table, and on that table was a box about that long and about that deep and about that high that contained all of the stuff that kid had in his life. Hanging up there were three outfits, and all three of the kids, that's all they had. And they were so happy. Every night they'd run down and they'd wash, they'd strip down and wash their own clothes in the river with the piranha and the alligators, and they would wash them and they'd bathe. And then they'd put on a pair of clothes that they would wear that night and the next day, and then do that all over again the next night. And I sat there and I felt so utterly ashamed. I was in a mountain town in Ecuador. And the men and the women would try and eat at least one meal a day so their kids could have two meals. And they stood waiting with their spoons in their pocket, five men waiting for me to get done with my soup, and if there was any left over, that's what they were going to eat. And we throw more food away in this country than what those people get all year long. Let me get a little bit more descriptive. A lady comes out of her house, and she goes over behind the house, and she flares out her skirt and squats down and goes to the bathroom and wipes it with some grass. Breaks my heart. We have no idea what we've got. I wish that all of you. Mark, am I telling you the truth? Yes, I am. Because he's been there. And if you've been to Haiti and so forth, Haiti used to be a beautiful place, and now it's one of the armpits of the world. We ought to be thanking God every day. Every time we take a piece of food, we thank God that we've got something to eat. Every time we hop in our car, we thank God. It took me 35 minutes to get here this morning, coming from Rice Lake. I was in services where people in Ecuador would walk 4 and 5 hours just to come to church. Walk 4 or 5 hours. Excuse me. That's preachy. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 17. Write it down. Colossians 3, 1 through 17. In the NIV Bible, the heading is Rules for Holy Living. Let me share this. Set your mind on things above. If you want to be thankful this morning, people, and if you want to be people who express the joy of God, set your minds on things above. Get off from yourself. Get off from the things that are going on around you. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of life. Get your focus on Him, because that's where your joy is. That's where your understanding is. That's where everything is. And when you focus on Him, you can have a thankful heart. Set your mind on the things above. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, things that bring God's wrath. Help me. And remember, what did we find out about complaining and arguing and so forth? What did it bring? What was one of the things it brought? His wrath. Is that right? Okay. All right. So it says here that we are to put to death whatever. That means we are to kill arguing and complaining and whining, murmuring. We kill it. He's not going to come down here and go, "Oh, you're okay." And how many times do you suppose we're going to have to do it? As many times as it keeps coming up. Kill it. Put it to death. Stop complaining. I encourage you this. You husbands and wives. You kids. You young people, kids, young people. Kids are goats. Young people. Wives? Debbie, if Trevor starts to complain, you go, "Trevor, remember, no complaining." You guys, you're listening? If Mom and Dad start to complain, you stop right there and you go, "Mom, Dad, no complaining." Got to help them. I don't know which one's the worst, but you got to help them. Lois, help me, would you? I give you permission. Well, I'm going to do it to you, too. I love it. Realize you are a new creation being made into the image, and we're a brand new creation, and we're being made into the image and the nature and character of Christ. See, I don't see Jesus Christ saying, "God, how come you did it this way? Come on, Lord or Father, where are you in this situation? Number four, we are all alike in his sight. We're all on the same level. I don't see myself any better than you guys. And I hope you understand and know that. I think if you're listening to me long enough, you realize that. I'm just like you, and you're just like me. We all complain. We need to stop it. Clothe yourselves with these. Compassion. Can't complain about somebody if your heart's filled with compassion for them. Kindness. Can't complain if you really, really have got kindness in your heart. Humility. That's where you put yourself less than somebody else. Gentleness. Patience. Put up with each other. Forgive each other as the Lord forgave you. That's a scripture. We are to forgive each other as Jesus forgave us. So how many of you experienced his forgiveness this morning? Come on, raise your hand. All right? If you have experienced God's forgiveness, then forgive each other the same way. Put on love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. We were called to peace. Be thankful. Look to his word. Express gratitude to God. Do everything in the name of the Lord. If we do everything in the name, can we complain in the name of the Lord? Can we argue in the name of the Lord? Can we murmur in the name of the Lord? It says do everything. How much is everything? Everything. I mean, that all these things should help us. And then the very thing it says at the bottom is always giving thanks to God through Christ. Trevor, thank you and the worship team this morning, because there was this, and especially that one song, there was so much praise and worship in it. And I want to, honestly, I want to say thank you to all of the worship team, because their whole thing is just to worship the Lord, and that helps us get into it, okay? And you guys did very good this morning. Excellent, awesome. People, please, for your sake, for your family's sake, be thankful people. Our kids learn how to argue and whine from us. They also can learn how to be thankful from us. Our kids take on our nature and character. They take on our whole attitude and so forth. Be thankful people. Let praise and thanksgiving be what comes out of your mouth, and not complaining and not arguing and not murmuring and whining and growling. You know that's contagious? All you got to do is walk into a room and say one negative thing. And you know what happens? Pretty soon everybody's saying some negative thing. Thanksgiving is also contagious. Takes a little longer. It's contagious, but it takes a little longer, you know, because people are bent to complain. Walk into a situation, and if somebody says something negative, say something positive. I just hate this time of year with all this garbage that's going on and all the election and stuff. Well, but you know what? November's not that far away. You know, it'll all be over shortly. It'll all wash out. It'll all happen the way it's going to happen. You know, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to vote. What are you going to vote for? I don't know the one the Lord leads me to vote for. But I'm going to speak my peace as I mark that down. I'm going to say what I feel and what I sense. Or all the complaining, is it going to change anything? All the arguing about it and all the suspicions and all this, is that going to change anything? We're going to go and we're going to do our part as good American citizens and we're going to vote. All right? And in the end, whatever is the outcome is what we're going to, we're either going to deserve it or need it. I thank God for the opportunity. I've never lived under a dictator. I don't ever want to live under a dictator where I don't have any rights at all. Be thankful, people. Just be thankful. God's a good God. And there's never, ever, ever, ever a time when he's not worthy of my praise and thanksgiving. Never, ever is he not worthy of my thanksgiving and my praise. So I'm going to thank him no matter what. Because he says, in all things give praise and give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. I'm going to be thankful. I might not have this and I might not have that, but that's all right. I'm still going to be thankful. I might want this and I might want that there and I don't have it, but that's all right. I'm still going to be thankful. I'm going to give him thanks as much as I can in every situation that comes down the pike in my life. And people, I give you this. You grab hold of this. If you hear me complain, would you say something to me? Mark, if you hear me complain, would you do me a favor and slap me across the face or do something? He's got this big smile on his face. He's like, oh boy, here I go. See? You know, Dan, if you hear me complain or anything like that there, would you please say something to me? Wake me up. Get me out of that mode. Get me out of that destructive thing. Lois, you have that opportunity. Work on me. Dick, we see each every once in a while. If you hear me starting to complain, will you do me a favor? Help me out to become a person who gives thanks in every situation. There you go. Good man. It probably should be oak. Yeah. I have a tire thumper at home that she uses. Tire thumper. An old truck driver. Let's bow our heads for prayer. You know, Father, last week we talked about this whole thing of complaining, and we looked at the Israelites and how it just, they complained about all kinds of different things. But Lord, we're no different. They're probably the best example in the Word about that we Christians in our walk with you and the dumb things that we do. Father, help us. Please help us to become a people. Father, in my home, in the homes of every one of these people, let the moms and the dads become the living, breathing example of Christ and be people who are constantly giving thanks for all that they have. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, because we represent that to our kids and our grandkids and so on. We represent that to our neighbors, the people that we work with, the people that we're around. We represent that, the people we talk on the phone to, Lord Jesus. Help us to be thankful, praising people in every situation, in every circumstance. Because as we do that, Father, we become your children. We become pure like you are. We become blameless. But at the end of that scripture, Father, it says that we become that person that presents the the word of life to the people around us. That's what I want to do, Father. I want to be your word of life expressed to the world. And it comes through being thankful. Thank you, Father, for your unbelievable love and mercy and grace towards us. And Lord, we pray that you would just take this now as we go, those of us who are going to stay, Father, for the potluck meal. Lord, we pray that you would take it and bless that food. Use it for your glory and honor. Use it for our strength and so forth. And Father, thank you so much for everybody that has worked hard to prepare it and so forth. We give you thanks and praise for all of it, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can find information and our sermons online at gracetl.org. Thanks for listening.